Good afternoon, I'm Dave Benninger. We're pleased to welcome you to the start of a new program here on KDLG, a weekly wrap-up magazine of news stories and features, sort of a catch-all for us of interesting news of the week and a look ahead to some of the weekend events. This show doesn't have a name yet or much production value, but we'll get there, and we hope you stay with us. First, a look back at some news of the week. The village of Naposkiok woke Saturday to news of a murder in the village. 28-year-old Matthew Beaver was killed last Saturday, allegedly by 20-year-old Kayla Jacob. She was arrested Saturday by troopers and arraigned on a first-degree murder charge. In an apparently unvaluable burglary, the courthouse in Dillingham was broken into last weekend. A safe was stolen from the court clerk's office, but the court reported that the safe did not have any cash inside over the weekend. The nearby high school video surveillance system did not record any activity around the courthouse, and Dillingham police are continuing to investigate the case. On Monday, Alaska inaugurated a new governor and lieutenant governor.
I'm honored to be your governor. You put me here. I will put you first. I will never forget that. God bless you, and God bless Alaska.
Independent Bill Walker and Byron Mallott were sworn in during a ceremony at Juneau's Centennial Hall. Walker has begun making cabinet-level appointments, including former state lawmaker Sam Cotton to serve as acting commissioner of the Department of Fish and Game. In the Western Bering Sea, a South Korean pollock trawler was slammed by a wave Monday and sunk quickly. At least 7 of 59 fishermen aboard have been rescued, and 12 bodies have so far been recovered. A joint search and rescue between the U.S. and Russian Coast Guards is still underway. The rest of the fishermen are presumed dead. The winning purse for the 2015 Iditarod was announced this week. At $70,000, the payout is the highest ever. Alaska's most famous sporting event starts in Anchorage on March 7th. State officials say the conditions of Kanakanak Road leading from Lake Road to downtown Dillingham will likely remain poor as long as the weather continues to freeze and thaw.
It's a construction site. It's raining. It freezes. It thaws. It's going to be a trial for everyone.
That's the Department of Transportation's Jill Reese. Reese says DOT added a special contract with Kinnick Construction to have the road graded as often as needed. The proposed design of the replacement for the 50-year-old ferry Tustamina was released this week. The new vessel will be 34 feet longer, accommodate 10 more cars and 76 more passengers than its predecessor. Constructing the trusty Tusty's replacement is estimated to cost $237 million. Last night, the Dillingham City Council voted unanimously to adopt Kurt Armstrong to the seat vacated by Keggy Tubbs earlier this fall. Armstrong was one of five or six city residents who submitted letters of interest in the seat, though he seemed to do so slightly reluctantly. He was the top choice of Mayor Alice Ruby, who joins us now. Alice, you had several qualified candidates for the seat, including others who have past council experience, but you recommended Kurt above the rest, and the council was quick to approve. What about Kurt stood out to you?
Kurt actually brings a lot of experience. He was on the council for a very long time. I couldn't even say how many years. He also served at a time when we were having some similar challenges. And it's even though people will presume that it has mostly to do with annexation, that wasn't really the deciding factor for me and probably for the council and the reason they supported it. We've got some real fiscal issues confronting us this year, and Kurt's been through that and can bring that experience with him this year as we try to kind of struggle to balance a budget.
You pointed that out last night, and you've pointed it out before about this tough fiscal reality that's ahead. What as a city are we looking at?
Well, even in last night's council packet, there was a report from the staff as they attended AML and also a report from our lobbyists, and what they're advising is that we should look for a decrease in revenue sharing. We've been being warned about that for years. There's even some suggestion that the administration will increase our contribution to PERS significantly, and our federal legislators are saying that there may be some impact on PILT, you know, the payment in lieu of taxes, and that could affect the city and the school. And, of course, anything that affects the school, you know, ripples over into the city budget. So even just those three sources of revenue that we depend on are looking like they may be affected this year. But then along with our own local revenues, you know, it's probably not a really bad year, but it is a tight year, so that means less spending, and that means less sales tax and less revenue for the city.
Well, we'll follow up with you more about that, I'm sure, in the days and weeks ahead. But on another topic, at the end of the council meetings, you always call for a moment of silence for all those who've passed away since the last month. But last night you called special attention to one person in particular.
I did. I was found out earlier in the day that Perry Atkinson passed away, and that was pretty meaningful for me, and I know for a lot of people. Perry was born and raised in Dillingham and longtime resident. He was a teacher at the school, retired from the school. He was an active volunteer and EMT and eventually a firefighter. And so, you know, he had an impact on a lot of lives in the community. He was the state teacher of the year, and he probably received some awards for being an EMT, although I couldn't remember them off the top of my head. And you know, Perry's, you know, had some difficulties the last few years. So I know that he's, at least he's not in pain, he's at peace. But it is a huge loss to many of us.
Mm. Well, on a lighter note to wrap up with you here, Mayor, you have a special duty tomorrow night downtown.
Absolutely. I get to light the tree. That's always a fun thing, and I know that Mary Ann Dickey's been working a lot. Mary Ann and Paul have been working a lot on, you know, getting ready for that, and Nooshigak and Beaver Roundup Group have contributed to making the arrangements and stuff, so it should be a lot of fun. And
well, I found out that a picture of the tree lit during kind of a rehearsal phase had slipped online, and the organizers were quick to track down the culprit and pull it off so that there was no pre-publicity ahead of the event Saturday.
Oh, gee. Well, I missed that.
Yeah, well,
shoot, I don't know
too.
What it's going to look like
right.
either.
Well, I heard it looks great, but so are you going to lead
Very
any of
good.
The are you going to lead any of the Christmas carols for us Saturday?
Probably not. Oh. No, I don't think I'll subject people to that kind of punishment. But I will, you know, plug in the lights and certainly be there to drink my share of hot chocolate, you know, while people sing carols. So, yeah, that'll be a great Saturday.
It will be. We look forward to it. We'll see you downtown. Mayor Ruby, thanks for joining us.
All righty. Thanks, Dave. See you later.
Well, for more of some of the weekend festivities in store here in town, KDLG's Thea Card sat down with the Arts Council's Mary Ann Dickey for a preview of the always popular Christmas Bazaar that kicks off tomorrow morning.
Snow is on the ground, businesses are playing holiday music, students will be on winter break soon, and ugly sweaters are being worn both ironically and unironically. It's officially Christmas season. I recently sat down with Mary Ann Dickey from the Dillingham Arts Council, the group that organizes the Christmas Bazaar. What is the Christmas Bazaar?
Well, this is a ho, 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 here we go kind of event, you know? It's really a big one for the whole year and for the community. Many, many vendors come. This year, we're expecting almost 90 vendors. That will be the largest group we've ever had in the high school gym. And we have enough tables. We have hopefully enough chairs. And some people are bringing their own tables and chairs to help us out.
So what will be there?
We have many, many people that are selling food. Some people will be coming with native crafts. And the native crafts include everything from, cusbucks. And some are cusbuck aprons, headdresses, earrings, mittens, fur mittens and hats. Ivory carvings. Then in other areas, and beading. There's some native beading, too, that's beautiful. In other areas, we have Christmas ornaments, kids' sweatshirts, mirrors, Advent calendars, massage oils. Doesn't that sound like fun? Soap and stained glass. Let's see. There's face painting for the kids and for the adults, if somebody wants one. Maybe even Grandpa wants a little rose on his cheek. There'll be raffles. One raffle I know of in particular is going to be at the Senior Center table. It's for a Nordic Track treadmill. It's practically new, has a lot of bells and whistles, so that will be raffled off if we reach our funds that are anticipated, $450, because it's worth $500. So we're trying to raise $450. Otherwise, the raffle will be postponed.
You mentioned food. What can we expect to see?
Pickled fish, maple bars, two kinds of tacos this year. Taco Jessie Jensen is going to have her tacos, and then there's a Navajo taco coming. Billy Benedict will be there with all of her goodies on many, many food tables, and some agurak.
The bazaar starts at 10 a.m. and goes to 4 p.m., correct?
It is. Vendors come at 9 a.m. All the tables are gone, but, you know, really, Thea, if someone calls me and really wants to come and they've just haven't had a chance to call, we'll fit them in somehow. This is a time when, you know, it's a small town and a big event, but we should accommodate everybody who wants to be there and join in the fun. So do come, even if you can't call, and we'll squeeze you in somehow.
And I heard there will be a special guest, too.
Santa, of course, will be there, too. He'll be there 1 to 2:30, and we're asking people to bring their own cameras since pictures are free. And to support Santa, his assistants, the elves, will be there, the high school drama club. And they will be, for a fee, making balloon animals to hand out to the children as they stand in line.
The bazaar is in the Dillingham High School this Saturday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., and the Dillingham tree lighting will follow at 6 p.m. at Delta Western. From KDLG, I'm Thea Card. Happy holidays.
And as mentioned, when the bazaar ends, come rain or shine, festivities will shift a block or two away for the annual tree lighting at Delta Western downtown. The lights have now been hung on the tree, hot cocoa will be served, and Santa is expected to drop into that event as well. Marianne Dickey found a special person to lead the town in some Christmas carols for the tree lighting. Arwen Gaddis is a recent law school grad and also a recent transplant to Dillingham. She serves as a clerk for local Judge Pat Douglas. But in her past life, music was a major focus of her time and talent, and she is a trained opera singer. Our first connection with Arwen was through her fiancé, Nick, who is KDLG's program director and new Open Line host. We invited Arwen to share more about her opera singing ahead of the tree lighting. Arwen, thanks for coming on.
It's nice to be here.
It's not every day that we meet an opera singer. How did you get into opera?
Oh, goodness. When I was 10, I had the pleasure of seeing Hansel and Gretel at my school. And I came home that day and told my mom, I'm going to be an opera singer. And I kind of stuck with it all the way through undergrad until I changed career directions to go into law.
A career in opera isn't as lucrative as a law career, I might imagine.
Well, and even in the legal field, I'm not really in it for the money. It's more that the economy crashed the year that I graduated from undergraduate. And the idea of being able to find a job in ethnomusicology, which is a pretty random field, seemed disheartening at best.
Still yeah. Something you pursue on the side, and that's been discovered here in town. The Arts Council has found you and is going to recruit you to sing. And we asked if you might sing something as well, and you agreed to do so.
Well, I can do a snippet of a piece from The Elixir of Love, which was written by Giuseppe Donizetti around probably the turn of the 20th century, I'm guessing. And this is the character Adina. She falls in love with this farmhand who doesn't have very much money, and he's going to go off to war. And she says, no, I'll buy your farm for you so you don't have to go to war. And so that's kind of what this little snippet is from.
That's wonderful. And I think we could point out that you just joined us after a full day of work. Very nice.
Get out of practice, but it's fun.
Well, now we understand that you're leading the Christmas carols downtown in Dillingham this Saturday. So Perhaps you could regale us with something you might sing that evening.
I don't know if we'll sing this song or not, but it is one of my favorite Christmas songs, so I figured throw it out there. I saw Mommy kissing Santa Claus underneath the mistletoe last night. She didn't hear me creep down the stairs to have a peek. She thought that I was tucked up in my bedroom fast asleep. Then I saw Mommy tickle Santa Claus underneath his beard so snowy white. What a laugh it would have been if Daddy had only seen Mommy kissing Santa Claus last night.
Arwen Gaddis, beautiful. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Well, let's shift gears now to some news from the fishing industry, even though it's the middle of winter here. The Pacific Marine Expo in Seattle is an annual gathering of fishermen and the fishing industry to talk shop, take a look at new products, and do some mingling. Alaska and Bristol Bay always have a bit of an outsized presence at the weekend-long event, which happened just before Thanksgiving. One forum at the expo caught our eye. It pertained specifically to the potential buyback of Bristol Bay drift net permits, an idea which has been the subject of a recent study funded by the Bristol Bay Economic Development Association. Here to talk about that and some more industry business is Gabe Dunham, the Marine Advisory Program agent in Bristol Bay, who was at the Pacific Marine Expo. Gabe, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Well, let's start with the potential Bristol Bay permit buyback program. What do you know about this so far?
The plan is sort of outlined in a study that was, again, funded by the BBRSDA and done by Northern Economics. It's a good study. I encourage you to go to the BBRSDA website.
It's on their website.
It is
a PDF, about 80 pages, I think. It's not a bad read.
It is pretty lengthy, but there's a good table of contents in there that I suggest you follow if you want to get to the real meat and potatoes that you're interested in.
Well, the real meat and potatoes is that this isn't a potential economic choice for the drift net fishery.
That's right. Right. The point behind a permit buyback is to basically provide a mechanism to consolidate the fishery, ostensibly to increase the economic value for the people remaining in the fishery. That basically translates into fewer boats and more fish per boat.
And as I understand, either the state or the feds could fund a buyback from a fishery like ours here.
That is correct. Although during the conversations at the Fish Expo session, both the state and the feds were adamant in describing that this would be a loan and would have to be paid back by the Bristol Bay Drift Net fleet.
Oh, really? So how did the fleet respond to that you could tell at the meeting there?
Well, it's really no news to most members of the fleet that are familiar with other buyback programs. So I would say that they didn't respond specifically negatively to that idea, since they were used to the notion from the permit buyback that took place in the Southeast seine fishery.
So Southeast is similarly paying back for the permits that were purchased by the state and or feds. I think they had buyback from both state and federal.
Yes, I think you're right. Yep.
Okay. Well, what else did you hear at the meeting? Was there a heightened level of interest about this? If I remember correctly, we're talking about the potential of removing several hundred permits from the fishery.
Yeah, right. And the general feeling I got from the meeting, and this is also echoed in the report and in Undercurrents News, is that there's a lot of skepticism about whether or not a buyback program is appropriate for Bristol Bay. And that's based a lot on the fact that there's skepticism as to the optimal number of permits or the optimal level of participation in the bay, and some of that is driven by the fact that participation of latent permits or permits that don't fish every year sort of waxes and wanes by the fish price and the abundance of returns.
Okay, was there any discussion about who this harms or helps. And I'm curious because I wonder if there's been any thought as to whether this benefits the fleet that doesn't live in Bristol Bay year-round or benefits the fleet that does live here or vice versa.
Well, that's a good question. And if you'll take a look at the Northern Economics Report, they do touch on that issue a little bit. And with the primary question being which permits are the ones that are bought back in a permit buyback scenario. And that question was raised a couple of different times during the special session at the Expo. And people really wanted to know whether or not there would be some way to protect local, specifically watershed permit ownership.
I just wonder if we would see permits bought back from fishermen who watershed residents.
Well, again, it depends on how they structure. If they were to go forward with the buyback scenario, it would really depend how they structure the buyback.
Okay.
In the past, they've structured it such that there's what they call a reverse auction. So they offer usually in a sealed bid format, they'll solicit bids for permit price buybacks.
Okay. Well, while we've got you here, let's talk quickly about this forecast that came out maybe 2 weeks ago. Huge numbers. Surely this was a topic on the minds of many people in Seattle. We're talking about somewhere between 40 and 60 million fish.
Supposedly this forecast is up 34% from the run in 2014. And the range, like you mentioned, is somewhere between 45 million and 63 million fish, which is a significant increase. Up from 28 million fish that were caught last year.
And all of the forecasts that are done for Bristol Bay are similar. They're not very far off. This could be a huge run next year.
Yeah, it could be. And the range of 45 to 63 million, it sort of reflects the roughly 30% leeway in the ADF&G's numbers.
Were the fishermen that you encountered in the industry that you encountered, were they excited about the size of the run or concerned how they may play into the market price next year?
Well, a little bit of both. I mean, fishermen that have been fishing in the Bristol Bay fishery for a while understand that there is definitely that relationship between price and quantity. Some of the fishermen I spoke to were visualizing this as an opportunity to improve their fishing operation, take that next step up to the larger boat to increase their ability to catch more fish for this next year and take advantage of this big run. Some of them did mention the price. They mentioned that we caught quite a bit of fish last year, and the price was a little bit depressed, perhaps because of that, perhaps because of other factors. So, yeah, some interesting observations from folks that are out there on the water.
Well, Gabe, we're out of time, but we hope you come back next week to talk about the potential new EPA regulations to small vessels if Congress doesn't take action by the 18th. And a little bit about how the farm salmon markets may be affecting the price of our wild-caught fish. Gabe, thanks so much.
Thanks a lot.
Well, high school sports regionals are underway already today. Volleyball teams are in New Stuyahok, and wrestlers are all converging in Bethel. Each team and individual athlete vying for a chance at getting to state tournaments next weekend in Anchorage. We're out of time today to talk more about this, but we hope you join Mike Larson for the Bristol Bay Sports Roundup Monday at 3:30 on AM 670. Mike will bring us the wrap-up of all the weekend's good events. Well, we'll leave you this week with a special poem written and read here by our friend Brian Abraham from Togiak. Abraham included his poem in this month's edition of a newsletter he writes and publishes in the village. Here he reflects a little frustration at the belated presence of Old Man Winter.
Hey, Winter! Winter! Where are you? Where's your sting and bite? Oh, Winter, we need your service in Togiak. Our dependence with each season includes you. Winter, Winter, are you moving down below? If so, remember our ancestors who survived your worst. Winter, are you coming back? Hey, Winter, Winter, where are you? We welcome you with open arms.
Sleigh bells ring, are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. A beautiful sight, we're happy tonight, walking in a winter wonderland.
Well, that's it for this week's wrap-up of news from Bristol Bay and beyond. If you have ideas, poems, thoughts, songs, or stories for us, Send an email to news@kdlg.org or give us a call anytime at 842-2200. I'm your host, Dave Benninger. Thanks for joining us.
Then pretend that he is Parson Brown. He'll say, "Are you married?" We'll say, "No, ma'am." But you can do the job when you're in town. Later on, we'll conspire as we dream by the fire to face unafraid the plans that we made, walking in a winter wonderland. Over the ground lies a mantle of white, a heaven of diamonds in the lovely night. You can do the job whenever you're in town. Later on, maybe we'll conspire as we dream of sitting by the fire to face unafraid all the plans that we made, walking in a winter wonderland. Sleigh bells ring, are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. A beautiful sight, we're happy tonight, walking in a winter wonderland.